now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey.
Cut it off and live. Were it possible for us to recall the events of our lives, and were we capable of placing the right valuation on each event, we would see the relative importance or the trifling insignificance of each decision. Each and every human being is eternal in his or her existence, and I observe that there are four periods in every human existence, namely, the first, prior to his birth, the second, prior to his death, third, during the time of death, the death of the body, and fourth, beyond death. I further observe that some of us will skip over the third period of death because we shall never die. Real Christians who are still alive on earth when Jesus comes shall be changed and caught up to meet their Lord and go into heaven with him. Of our life beyond death, the scripture says, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. The most important moment will be when we are arrayed before the man Christ Jesus as our judge, whether as a Christian to hear his appraisal of our service for him, or as a sinner to be faced with one's wicked works. In both cases, eternity's supreme moments will be as we stand at the court of that man who has all power in heaven and earth, power to judge men and to execute his sentence too. Eternal will be the effects of his decrees. And in every life here on earth prior to death, the most important time is called in the Bible a space to repent. While one's whole life may be so reckoned, yet in it there is a definite time when God puts one on the spot, as we say, and he must choose, shall I continue in my sins and forget God, or shall I repent and seek God's mercy? Solemn are such moments, and the results are eternal. It is still true that the most important decision any mortal man can make is that of surrender to Jesus Christ as his own Lord and Savior in answering the question, what shall I do then with Jesus who is called Christ? But this decision must be preceded by Bible repentance. Therefore, the Bible speaks of it all in these words, I gave her space to repent, but she repented not. The challenge to repent often comes after a long and wicked life, and it immediately precedes the end of God's patience with that one. Many of you in my audience are right there, for as you look back over your wicked, God-provoking life, you instinctively realize that God's patience is about to run out with you. The last of the sand is rolling through the time glass, and then God's peerless character is wonderfully revealed during that space to repent, whether it be a wicked Cain, or a subtle Judas Iscariot, a God-defiant Belshazzar, or a sin-loving Herod. God pauses to show his last tokens of mercy in his sincere desire that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But when that ends, he does and he must show himself as a God of justice with no favors. That is why I seek to warn you, as I earnestly cry in your ears, there is an end to the patience and mercy of God. I repeat it, there is an end, oh neighbor, believe me, there is an end to the patience and mercy of God. And this day, this very hour, may be that moment in your life, the end of God's grace to you forever. All this we will see in action by considering a Bible character, Absalom, the son of King David. Here are some of the wicked sins that stained his past life. He killed his half-brother and fled justice. Then, deceitfully working his way back home, he used the beauty of his hair, the flattery of his kisses and his promises, to treacherously steal the hearts of people as he conspired to take his father's throne and kingdom and set out to kill his father after first committing public immorality with the wives of others. Absalom was as wicked as Hophni and as proud as the devil himself. His history exhibited the deceitfulness and wickedness of human hearts, the disregard for God's laws, and a defiance of God's retribution. And Absalom, in his stupidity and blindness, ran right into God's trap. Yes, God has a trap set for all such. And once that trap snaps on you, there's only one way out. It is to repent. And only one time for action. It is that very moment. God holds back his rod of justice long enough to hear your cry of repentance. Oh, neighbor, this calls for immediate action. It is now or never. Absalom could not live his life over, nor blot out his many sins, but he could repent, and so can you if you will. But instead, he tries to outwit God by the counsels of men, and with a great army, he has mapped out his road to victory. But years before, God had prepared a great oak and shaped a fourth branch over that road in the woods to form his trap to stop that reckless youth. Absalom's map to victory left out that oak, and so does your map omit God and his trap for you. Neighbors, you cannot leave God out and get away with it. So let us learn from Absalom. He races down that road on his swift mule. He sees the oak, yes, and his fourth branch too, but he could go under it without even bowing his proud head, so he thought. Then God commanded the wind. One gust lowered the bough, and another took Absalom's long hair and wrapped it around the oak limb, while the mule races on, leaving Absalom hanging in the oak. He is trapped. There hangs our object lesson. We shall now learn of God and man in that crucial time, the brief time of repentance. Please observe, God took Absalom's mule, but God left Absalom his sword. He had sharpened it for the throat of his own father. Would he now unsheathe it and cut off his hair? It was cut it off and live, or else. But that hair was his pride and glory. No, he'd rather die than to live without it. Oh, neighbor, are you that Absalom? You hold the sword. You can cut off your pride, your love sin, your worldly alliances, your godless living, or whatever it is that holds you back from repenting and being converted. You can, but no one can for you. You must, or else. Would you rather go to hellfire with your pride, your sin, and your old buddy the world? Or would you tear loose from all these, cut them off, forsake them, and repent? Which is it? Absalom's only way out of God's trap was to repent, but he would not cut off his hair nor utter a cry for God's mercy. He does groan and squirm in his pain, but it remains self-loving and God-defying. Oh, what can I do for the Absaloms of today who dot my audience like the raindrops dot the street? Let us take a look at the animals. In a steel trap, caught in its tight jaws, is an animal. It may be a rat. One foot is held tight. Now we will watch. Mr. Rat, with his own teeth, bites off his own leg and he's free again. Can it be that man has not the sense of an animal, a rat? Listen now to these words of wisdom, the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Where that worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Our Savior tells us to cut off that hand, cut off that foot. Yes, even pluck out that eye and live. It is cut it off and live, or else the fiery torments of eternal damnation. Medical science practices to cut off the gangrenous hand or foot, gouge out the cancerous eye, and save the life. Man has natural sense about his body, but he lacks that spiritual sense about his eternal soul. Not even the sense of a rat. Absalom's moments are now few, for when he does not act, then God must act. Up comes the captain with three darts. He throws one, and as it pierces Absalom's proud heart, he groans in the defeat of death. The second dart strikes his target, and Absalom's eyes close. Then the third, and he gulps in death. His body is thrown into a pit, but ere it strikes the bottom, Absalom's soul landed in that hell which our Lord described as the fire that never shall be quenched. News is brought to his father, and David wails in hopelessness. Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee. Oh, Absalom, my son, my son. Now, just to think of what it might have been, it is the realization of what it might have been that will increase the wretchedness of the loss forever. Suppose Absalom had done this, taken his sword and cut off his hair, and when he fell to the ground, then to throw away his sword of rebellion and seek out David to confess his wickedness before him and to seek his mercy. Was not David's heart yearning after his son, even his wicked son Absalom? Was he not waiting for his return? Then instead of Absalom being in hellfire and David wailing that bitter wail, what a time of rejoicing there would have been, and what a display of God's grace we would have seen. Neighbor, you can cut off your pride today. You can throw down your sword of rebellion and seek the Lord for his mercy. Has he not said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found? Call ye upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way and return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and he will abundantly pardon. God's heart is yearning after you, neighbor. God is ready to receive you and make you an object of his mercy, a trophy of his grace, and then all heaven will rejoice over the once repentant over the one repentant sinner, you. But remember, the crucial moment, the deciding hour, is now, right now. Don't be a proud and foolish Absalom, but cut it off and live. Why not right now get alone with God and confessing and forsaking your sin and your pride, seek God's mercy? Neighbor, I would do this for you, but I cannot. You must do it for yourself as I had to do it for myself. Then call on the Lord Jesus to save you, the lost sinner, and for him to receive you as one of his own redeemed people, as you turn to him to trust him as your Savior and obey him as your Lord. This you can do this very hour. I beseech you to take action ere God's space for you to repent runs out, never to return forever. How solemn!